We're on?
Yeah, we're on.
Okay. All right, so we're at the Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Ches on the Beis. And the Mishnah tells us, Lo ya'amer adam la'tevach, shokol li bedinar basar. That a person, so it's Yantif time, and whatever happens, you ran out of food, and you need food, so you go over to the butcher, and you say to him, I need some meat. So there's no issur to just get some meat from the butcher, but there is an issur to conduct business on Yantif. So the Mishnah tells us some of the parameters, and that's what this Gemara is going to discuss, some of the parameters of what can and cannot be done in the transfer of items from professionals to people over the course of Yantif, to be done in a way that the commerce can be taken care of after Yantif, but that the items can be relayed on Yantif and the person could get what they need. So lo yamar adam latevach shakul li bedin or basar. You can't go up to a butcher and start telling him, you know, I want a certain amount of meat for a particular price, for a particular amount of money. Rashi says, she'asar lahaskir sham damim. You can't mention the actual price. Aval shochenu mechalek b'nehem. But if you don't mention price and you just show up at the butcher's house and he's has all sorts of different meats, he could go ahead and give you the meat and you could take care of the payment after Yantif. So the Gemara says, Heichi Ovid, how does this work? Rashi says, so it's easy to know how it works if you want a large part of the animal or a very obvious proportion of the animal. Give me half the animal. Give me a quarter of the animal. And how do you really talk about amounts without referring to measurements that relate to price once you're dealing with smaller amounts of the animal? So that's what Rashi says. V'lo mechza v'lo shlish v'lo revia ela bedinar b'shnai me'yamar lo. Let's say you really do only want a dinar's worth of meat. So you can't just walk up to him and say, I want meat. Like, how are you supposed to? So says the Gemara, ki ha de besura. So now the Gemara lists different places and how meat was purchased in those places at lower amounts, but with particular standardizations. So says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, de besura amri, in the surah they would say, tarta upalgu, tarta or a half a tarta. Tarta begeresh, beneresh, amri, chalka, upalgu chalka. A chalka and a half a chalka. But pupadisa amri, they would say, uzia, upalga uzia. This is the tall, grande, vente of these communities, right? These are understood amounts. So you don't walk in and say, I want 16 ounces of coffee. You give the code, you give the, you know, this is what it's referred to. Uzia binahar, pakur, uvamasa, machasya. Amri riva upalga riva. And they would say a riva or a half a riva. Okay.
Why is the Mishnah only talking about a butcher? Think could it be any person?
It could be any. Correct. Food? This is a common. This would be a common situation. Maybe. But correct. Anything that's
someone that has like a,
as long as it's not
food, you know. So you want to say I want potato salad, but right. Not to measure, not to say I want a pound or something.
Okay. Exactly. Exactly. So
but
says
you can, say, give me a small, give me a large potato salad.
Right, but don't give me if the price is $5 a pound, and you start saying I want a pound. Really, you're saying I want $5 worth. So right, and we're going to see later at the end of the parak, we're going to see a little more specificity about that. But okay, the Mishnah then tells us the following: Amar adam lachaveru, a person could say to his friend, Malali klize, right? So you could walk up to somebody who has items that you need over Yantif, and you could say to him, fill for me this kli. Avalo b'mida. But you can't do it with a specific measurement. And we're going to explain in the Gemara what exactly that means. Rabbi Yehuda Omar, Rabbi Yehuda says, im haya kli shel mida, lo yimalenu. If it's a measuring cup, it's a kli that itself is used for measurement, then you should not use it to even fill the amount. Maisa ba'abashol ben Batnis, there was a Maisa with Abashol, the son of Batnis, Shahaya Mimali Midosa me'erev Yom Tov, that he would fill his containers on Erev Yom Tov, v'nosten l'lekuchos b'yantif, and people would come and pick up the items on Yantif. Abishol Omer, and Abishol would say, Af b'moed. He would even do this on Chol HaMoed, which we're going to see the reason why. Osekein, he would do this. Mipnei Berurei Hamidos, and there's Rashi has different girsos, whether or not we include this, but the Mishnah's girsa is Mipnei Berurei Hamidos. Why would he do this on Chol HaMoed? Because of Berurei Hamidos. Berurei Hamidos literally means to clarify the measurements. And the Mefarshim say that this refers to wine. And when you pour over wine, so there's usually, we know this from soda, right? When you pour over soda and there's some foam at the top. So, you know, sometimes, you know, somebody says, I'll get you a large soda. And they fill up the large. By the time you get back to the table, you don't have a large. You have less than a large. You were cheated out of a large, right? Good ounce and a half of Sprite is not in that cup. So the same thing apparently used to happen with wine. Wine would foam up at the top, and if people didn't allow it to settle, and people were in a rush, as we're going to see why, people didn't allow it to settle, they wouldn't get their full amount.
Interesting. Was it carbonated?
Like
it
was, yeah, I don't know if it was carbonated, but some sort of something. He did this on Chol as well, even when it was not Yontif, named Matzo Yamidos. And Rashi says that refers to when they used to sell oil from measuring cups, and people used to bring, so they had the oil in their measuring cup. People would bring their cups to take the oil home, and they'd pour it over, and a significant amount of the oil would stick to the sides of the cup, right. And so you wouldn't really get all the oil. So what he would do is, he would put before, the night before, he would like pour the oil over and have it drain out, so that by the time you went there to get your oil, you had it all. That's what Rashi says. Okay, so now the Gemara wants to know what exactly, so this was a strange language in the beginning of the Mishnah. Omer, just to return to the Mishnah for a second, Omer Adam Lachabero, the person says, Maleli Klize, fill for me this Kli, Abalo Bimida, the Tanakhama says, but not in measurement. Can't measure it out, because that already looks like business. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda said, Im aya kli shel mida, lo yimalenu. If it's a measuring cup, even if you're not using it as a measuring cup, you shouldn't fill it. So the Gemara says, Avalo b'mida. What does that mean? Avalo b'mida. So Am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, says Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Avalo b'kli hamiyuchad l'mida. So even the Tanakhama holds that you can fill up a cup to give somebody something, but you can't fill up a cup that's miyuchad lemida, that's specifically for measurement. About kli ha'omein lemida, but a kli that is constructed with the capacity to be used for measurement, but in general has not been used for measurement, yimalenu, there the Rabbanon would agree that you're allowed to use such a kli. Okay?
No, that's a 12-ounce cup, that's a 7-ounce cup.
Right, so
they're not
measuring. Right, but I don't know if this cup is miyuchad for measurement, as opposed to, let's say, you know, at home I have in my coffee thing like almost like a measuring spoon. You know, it's not. I don't even know how much is in it, but it's clear it's used for particular measurements. But let's say you have something that could be used for measurements, but it has not yet been used for measurements, so
like
it's not miyuchad lekach. Right, it's not miyuchad lekach. So the Gemara says, but it's omed lekach, it can be. So the Gemara says, so kliya omed yimalena, that you can use. So the us, Rabbi Yehuda, so that's the Tanakhama. And then Rabbi Yehuda comes, lemeimar, to say achumra, that's important. Afilu kli ha-omed lemida lo yimalena. Even a kli that's just prepared to be used for any sort of measurement, you cannot use to fill. So Alma, so then the Gemara says, okay, Gabi Simchas Yontif, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda L'chumra, V'Rabbanan L'kula. Sounds like when it comes to Yontif, and you're trying to deal with getting more food, that Rabbi Yehuda is the Machmir, and the Rabbanan are the Mekel. Because when it came to the Kli, Ha'omedes L'mida, Rabbi Yehuda said that that was Aser, and the Rabbanan said that that was Mutter. So says the Gemara, V'Ha'if Chashma Inon, we know that the opposite is true, Lahu Ditznan, because we learned in a Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Shokel Adam Basar. If a person needs to weigh a piece of meat, Keneged HaKliv, Keneged HaKofitz, that a person could use as a counterweight, you can't use actual weights, that's too much like Mekach u'Memkar, But you can use items that you know their weight, basically, and use those to balance out the scale. What could you use? You could use a vessel. You could use some sort of hammer or a meat cleaver. No, you can't use any sort of scale on Yontif. So Alma, we see, what do we see from this machlokus? Rabbi Yehuda Lekula, that Rabbi Yehuda is meiko when it comes to dealing with food for Simchas Yontif, because he said you can use the scale, just use abnormal items. Rabbanan Lechomer, Rabbanan said, no, you can't even use those items. Kasha, Rabbi Yehuda. So we have a kasha from our Mishnah, in which Rabbi Yehuda is the machmir, to this Mishnah, in which Rabbi Yehuda is the meikel, and allows you to use the scale just to use awkward items. Kasha de Rabbanan, and we have a kasha in the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, who said that you're allowed to use something that is omeid lemida. They are more meikel, ad Rabbanan, over here, where the Rabbanan seem to be more machmir, where they say you can't use the scale at all. So, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda lo kasha, the contradiction, Rabbi Yehuda is not a kasha, hosam, the case of the scale, kesheino omed lamida. That's a case where those items are not omed lamida. Rabbi Yehuda is consistent. He says if something is omed lamida, even if it's not darko lamida, then it's a problem. Here, it's not even omed lamida. It's like picking up paper clips, things off the desk, and just throwing them on the scale. It's not even omed lamida. Therefore, he's meiko. Hacha, but omed lamida. Here, you're dealing with something that is omed lamida. It just hasn't been used for that purpose yet. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that's enough for it to look like business on Yontif, and therefore, you're not allowed to use it. Derabbanan ad derabbanan nami lo kasha. Derabbanan ad derabbanan is also not a kasha. Hosam, in the case of the scales, ka'avid ka'avdinan b'chol. The reason why the Rabbanan are machmir over there is because your mom is using a scale. Your mom is using something that's literally like you'd be using during the weekday. Hacha lo ka'avid ka'avdinan b'chol. But over here, even if you're using something that's omed lamida, it's not something that has been used for chol yet. It's not something that has been used for weekday yet. And so therefore, it's not a problem. Rava Omar. Rava has, so that was the Gemara fleshing out the machlokas in our Mishnah according to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So now Rava has a different opinion. Rava says, Mayava lo b'mida. What does the Mishnah mean when it says in the Tanakhama that a person could be malali klize avalo b'mida? So we explained the first interpretation was that meant not to use something that is specifically for measurements, right? And then the machlokas became, can you even not use something that's just could be used for measurements? Here it says, Rava, mayava lo b'mida, shelo yizkar lo shem mida. That what the Mishnah means is, you could say, fill this kli, avalo b'mida, but you can't start to mention and discuss measurements themselves. About kli hamiyuchad l'mida, but a kli that's specifically, if it's just a kli that's used for mida, but no mention is made, so you haven't created a context where it's really obvious from what you're doing here that it's similar to mekach u'memkar, in that situation, then yimalenu, you could go ahead and fill it. Unlike the last interpretation between the machlokas of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda, here the assumption is that even the kli amiyuchad lamida, according to the Rabbanan, you're allowed to use. But also, Rabbi Yehuda lemeimar kli hamiyuchad lamida lo yimalenu. You're not allowed to use a kli hamiyuchad. You're not to use specifically a measuring item. And the discussion about something that's not even a measuring item is not introduced at all. So the machlokas just sort of moved up one notch, right? So Alma Gabi. So now the Gemara goes to the exact same shaklavatari. So Alma Gabi Simchas Yontif. Even though they're arguing about something different, here, Rabbi Yehuda l'chomra, Rabbi Yehuda is l'chomra, because he's the one that says, you can't use a kli ha-miyuchad l'mida. For Rabbanan l'kula, they say, you can use a kli that's miyuchad l'mida, as long as you don't talk about the mida. So, v'ha'if chashmayin en la, but we have a contradiction, it's not, we learned in a Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda omer, shokol adam basar k'neged ha-kli, k'neged ha-kofetz. You're allowed to weigh something basar against kli and kofetz. The Chachamim omrim, the Chachamim say, no, emashkichim b'kaf maznaim. You can't use the scale at all. Kalikar sa amar Rabbi Yehuda lekula v'rabbanim lechumra. We see that in our case, Rabbi Yehuda is mekel, allowing you to use these unnatural items, and Rabbi Rabbanan is lechumra, not even allowing you to use the scale altogether. Kasha, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha, the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan. So we have a Kasha between the Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah that asers kliya miyuchad lekach being a machmir. Here he's mekel using these unnatural items. We have a Kasha from the Rabbanan of our Mishnah that are matir kliya miyuchad lekach to the Rabbanan of this Mishnah that don't allow you to use the scale altogether. Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense that the Rabbanan who don't allow you to lose the scale at all, suddenly when it comes to the kliya miyuchad lekach, become the mekilah. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, lo kasha. So it's not a kasha because hasam the case of the basar and the scale v'she'eino miyuchad lamida. Those items are not specific for measurement. You're just using things to try to balance out the scale. Hacha miyuchad lamida. Here there are items that are miyuchad lamida. The rabbanan nami lo kasha. Rabbanan is not a kasha either because hasam the case of the scale kavdin and kavdin and bechol. Your mom is using a muksadika thing. Your mom is using something that people use on chol. Hacha lo kavid here, kavdin on bechol. You're not using something people use on the chol. Why? The avdi inshi de mikarvi chamra b'mona de kilo v'shasu. Because, you know what? If you run out of cups in your house and you want to serve people wine and the only thing you have left is a measuring cup, you'll put the wine in the cup and you'll let people drink. So what do you see from that? You see that measuring cups are not used exclusively in the context of mekach u'memkar. They're used for other reasons also. Scales really have no other purpose. This is before Weight Watchers, right? Yeah. To weigh all your food, and right? But the scales, you don't use that for personal use. You know, no one tracks how many ounces or, you know, like, you know, you use a scale for the purpose of figuring out how much you need to sell, how much you need to buy. So that's already considered. Much more obviously derech mekach u'memkar. Okay, Shlomi, you had a question.
My question is like when you go to, let's say, the shuk, and you see the guy has a scoop. He knows every time he takes a scoop, he knows how much is in that scoop. Is right. That considered? But there's no measurements on it.
It's an exact.
So it's not a tool for measurement, but he knows.
Right.
Every time he scoops.
To the Chicago, they scoop and they also measure.
Don't they scoop
bit.
And weigh?
They do. Yeah. That's because
you got to pay for it.
You got to pay it precisely.
You pay precisely. But when you're asking for a kilo or a kilo and a half,
right.
He knows. I'm saying, so for Yontif, if you don't use the scale,
right.
But you're using the tool,
right.
It's not an exact tool,
right.
But it's a tool.
But I think we could say that that tool is not as much of, even though that shovel, he knows because of his expertise and experience,
right.
Is how much in that shovel is going to weigh how much. That shovel is not a kli that's specific to measurement, as opposed
that's
to
what I'm saying.
Right, as opposed to, I'm sure everybody's had this shiloh before, you're looking for something, you know, sometimes the chulin's burning, right? And you want to get more water into the chulin. So it's a machlokas. And one of the kulas that's possible is to take it into a klisheni and get it into the cholin.
With the klisheni?
With the klisheni. That's not, you try to move the cholin under the thing, you take it off the fire, you move it under the thing, under the thing, and that's what, you know, your kids watch tonight so will do. But the but if you're stuck, there is, because it's a whole discussion, whether or not water that went into a klisheni is really considered being cooked up again, and there's Rabbi Kivegar about it. Anyway, or even just stam, you're trying to do kli shlishi for tea will be less right. Controversial, although that also in Passaic is very controversial. so you go into your cabinet and the thing you pull out is your measuring
right.
Is your measuring thing. So you know you're not supposed to measure on Shabbos. So is that called measuring? Are you using that kli to figure out how many milliliters are going into your? No, you're just using it as a kli, but it's a kli, a miyuchad. So there, you know, if the guy was using at the shuk a kli that, you know, had lines on it, right? That's a kli, a miyuchad lekach. That's right. Or if it's made to a very, very specific amount, but just by virtue of the fact that he weighs it, you're right. His experience is that this is the amount.
So he could use that tool on Yontif.
He could use that tool.
For
it's not miyuchad lekach,
but
right?
But he relies on it. For that,
yeah.
Well, you go to a bakery and they're cutting your cake, and you tell them you want a pound.
Sometimes okay.
The experienced bakers are very, very good.
We had that last week.
No, I'm saying so that the guy could use that, even though it's a tool that for him he could rely on it, but for him to use it on Yontif, he would be able to use it on Yontif.
Right, because again, I don't think he's relying on the tool as much as, you know, if his experience was with a different tool, he would know how much is in that tool.
Right.
You know, you pour enough nuts onto the scale, and you begin to just, you know, you're nuts, you know.
Well,
and
we did that last
yeah,
week.
Yeah,
said,
Shlomo.
Right. Meaning if he's an expert, he knows
right.
with his hand, he
right.
can
right, correct.
Say this is a pound,
right.
even if there's no clay, even if there's no scale.
Right, uh-huh. right.
So, but again, that's independent of the clay. That's just...
Correct, that's just a question of
weighing
it all together.
Weight, right.
right, correct.
We're going
that's before.
Taking two steps forward, no matter what you're going to use on the scale, whether I'm using a knife, whether I'm using a spoon or something like that, or another dish, right? Eventually, okay, not tomorrow, but eventually, you're going to weigh this dish, okay, and you're going to say, okay, this dish came out to a half a pound. Now, you got three dishes worth of meat.
Right, so we're talking about somebody who's doing this, you know, back right. This happened to come up, and he has a general sense, and so he's using this to try to sort of, you know, get a... But it's not... But you're right, David. If you were to actually develop these items as weights and measures, you know, there's nothing about a rock that makes it inherently a weight or measure, you know, then you would be using it in that way.
Your Shabbos weights.
Your Shabbos weights.
No,
my Zabah Abishov and
you weigh it against the
right.
actual weight.
What's
going
to happen with the guy's going to do? Is he then going to say, oh, well, I used a hammer.
New weights.
So tomorrow you're going to come to pay me after Yontif.
Mistama.
Put the hammer on the
yeah,
scale.
Yeah, Mistama. He'll figure it out. Right. He'll know what he used.
But that's what the
But when you're doing it itself, because when you're doing it, it's not Derech Mekach U'Memkar.
Right. But he is allowed then after Yontif to say, I weigh the hammer. The hammer was a half a pound, so pay me for half a pound of meat.
Yeah.
So you can do it.
You can do it. You can pay up after Yontif. Yeah. Or else, what would be the purpose of using these items, right?
So it's just not the usual derech of it, and therefore it's a lack. It's not the derech of sales.
Correct, but you got to get something. You're using the scale for a purpose.
It's just you can't do it in the normal way of doing business.
Correct.
So
ma'isa ba'abishol ben bitnis tana af b'moed osakein. So we learned the Mishnah said that even b'moed he would do this. Ipnei bitul beis hamedrash. So why is that? Because of bitul beis hamedrash. Because it would take time away from the beis hamedrash. What did that have to do with anything? So tana rabban. So ipnei bitul beis hamedrash. He was a big tam chacham. People would ask him shailas a lot on chol moed. Rashi says shaya chacham gadol ubaim rabim lishol imenu. He was a big tam chacham. People would come and ask him shailas. V'moed rabim oskim b'torah shein terdim el malacha. And of course on chol moed no one's going to work. Everybody is learning Torah or taking the Jeep tours around Phoenix. So, so he would fill all these up the night before. So, you know, that's not when he was dealing with these shailas. So he'd have time during the day. Okay. So says the Gemara Tana Rabban, and the rabbis taught us, Hukin is Shalosh Meos Garbe Yayin Mibiru Reyamidos. So this tzaddik, he, at the end of the year, I think, he would calculate about the amount of 300 barrels of wine, mibirurei amidos, which basically means the amount over the course of a particular amount of time, that he thinks that because of this foam phenomenon, he had cheated people unintentionally out of a certain amount. Not only had this been unintentional, but people accepted it, right? In other words, you can stand there and say, I'm waiting until the foam goes down. People are in a rush. People have a lot to do. So, okay, you let the quick check fill the cup and you walk away, even though, you know, you didn't get it filled to the top.
Surface tension
right?
around the
main. Correct. So, the chaverov and his friends, kansu shol shmeos garbe shemen bimatsu yamidos. Same phenomenon with the dripping of the oil. So they took all of this. They calculated how much excess there was that people did not get in the course of their commerce. And they brought it to the Beis HaMikdash, to Yerushalayim, or to the Gabbai Tzedakah.
It wasn't a dry shul.
No one said it was in shul. No one said it was in shul. Right? It was L'chor, was at home. So Amru Lahem, he said to them, the Gizbarim said to them, Iyatem Zekukin L'kach. you don't have to do this. People were mochel. People understood that, you know, this is a normal course of business. Lekach amru lehem. And it's a kugim lekach. Amru lehem. So they said to them, afanu en ritzonenu bekach. We don't want to have anything to do with this, though. We don't want to, you know, this represents how much we unintentionally, and maybe even with mechila, but, you know, cheated people out of what they really deserved. We don't want to own it either. So amru lehem, hol v'chmartem al atzmeichem. If you're being machmer on yourselves, don't give it to the Beis HaMikdash. Asu mehem tzarchei rabin. Use it for communal purposes. What, you want to be such tzaddikim and donate it to the Beis HaMikdash or donate it to the, you know, don't do that. D'tanya, because we learned in a brisa, gazal, ve'ene yodea lemi gazal, yasa behem tzarchei rabin. So, you know, unfortunately, in today's world, this is not uncommon, right? Person steals, say a person's involved in some sort of scam, and you don't even know who you did it to. You don't even know who you took from. So there's a mitzvah in the Torah, there's an obligation in the Torah, beheshev is agzela. You have to go and return the gzela. So what happens if you think you stole, but you don't know who you stole from? You have no idea. So the halacha is you should take whatever the chiyav hashava is. What?
So you should give money to the shul.
Oh, so you should take and you should be done tzarchei rabim. My nihu. So the Gemara asks Matis's question as the treasurer of the shul. Shouldn't we give it to the shul? Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says no. Matis. He says boros shichin ma'oros. You use it to pave the Brook Avenue, you know? You use it to pave the street. Why is that so? And Rav Moshe actually has a tshuva about this, that you shouldn't use it for a tzedakah, per se. You have to use it for something that will benefit the rabbim. The Orach HaShulchan seems to have some sort of language that if you do this out of a real desire and ratzon to do the right thing, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will set it up in such a way that those that were cheated will end up benefiting from whatever you gave it to. I think Rav Moshe's example, or maybe other tshuva's example, you know, you can use it for something holy. You can use it to, let's say, build a mikvah. You can use it to build, you know, something that is open to the rabbim. You know, if you only use it for a school, so then, you know, those that don't have children, if that's one of the people that maybe you cheated out of, they're not going to benefit from it. If you use it, you know, from the shul, so maybe people don't daven in your shul, you know, will not benefit from it. But if you use it for something that's tzarchei rabim, then you know, then that will eventually get to the person it needs to get to. And so part of it is that, and part of it is also the general notion that a person should not hold on to damim gezel. In other words, even if we're talking about now the real case of gezel, even if the chiyav hashava can only really be satisfied by giving it back to the person you stole from. But even if you can't give it back to the person you stole from, to benefit from that, that in and of itself is not a pashut thing, right? It's not a pashut thing. This was a big shaila for a lot of institutions when the whole Madoff scandal hit, because the nature of what happened, it wasn't just that he was a ganef and stole lots of money from other people. He made lots of other people into ganef of him, because people were using profits.
Well, they weren't Ganoah. They were recipients of...
Correct. They were, exactly. Well, but that came from other people that were being cheated. So, in other words, that became a big discussion, whether or not... That's why a lot of the institutions that originally were going to go after the assets full force retreated a little bit, because they realized they had more to lose than they did to gain, because if everything gets reapportioned, then, you know, really they benefited from a lot of the
they got something out of
But this is a big discussion. If you're in possession of stolen items, if you're in possession of something that came to you that wasn't, you know, is that something? So how that halacha works in terms of an institution and a tzedakah institution is a separate discussion. But if you as your own person, if you are, you know, if you unintentionally came into possession of something stolen, or you did it intentionally and now you want to give it back but you have no one to give it back to, there's something to be said for just expelling it from your... I once heard that there's an inyan, maybe Rabbi Weissman knows because he deals more with these things, there's an inyan to put in your will a certain amount of money that's letzarchei rabim, for this purpose. That maybe over the course of time, you know, I used to, at the end of the year, when I was working in NCSY, I used to give, I used to write a personal check to the organization, not for tzedakah. I didn't take a write-off at all, just in case over the course of the year, I used pens, I used paper clips, I used the copy machine, something personal that maybe I should not have used from something that was a communal institution, that should be that shouldn't be on my cheshbon.
Wasn't so much you used it, you took it home by accident. Because if you're using it there on work, that's what it's supposed to be.
It could be, but maybe I
put the pen in your pocket and took it home.
Yeah, maybe I made a photocopy because, right?
Yeah.
Not to mention all the times I used it for the shul. That's a separate discussion. Separate circumstance.
You just got to make a donation.
There was a lot going on with that. Okay. Rav Chisda, all right, so Hadabri Rav Chisda Ravina Ukva. Rav Chisda was walking with Ravina Ukva Vidaresh, and he told him, Lo yimadod, yimdod adam sa'orim v'yitain lifnei behemto. A person should not measure out a certain amount of sa'orim, barley, and put it before their behema b'yantif. Aval kolder u'kav u'kavim v'novsin lifnei behemto. But you could put the kav u'kavim before the behema. You shouldn't measure it out and put it into a thing, but you can with your hand put it in front of him. You don't have to worry. A chef can measure a tavlin spices and put it into their kedera so that they don't end up ruining the food. Rashi says nachtom mevashel. Kederos nami kari nachtom yakdiach yisrof, so it doesn't end up burning. Amar Rav Yirmi Barava, Amar Rav Modedes Isha Kemach B'Yom Tov. A woman is also allowed to measure out the flour on Yontif. V'nosenes l'toch yisasa. Again, none of this is being done for the purpose of commerce. This is being done for the purpose of ochel nefesh, so that she can put it into the flour. They should titul chala ba'ayin yafeh, so she could take the right amount of chala. The Rishonim write that this no longer really applies because we don't take the exact amount of challah. We take just a symbolic amount of challah and we burn it. So it used to be different. Shmuel Omer, what?
Could challah be made on Yontif these days or no?
That's a whole discussion. It fits.
So
Shmuel Omer, so one second, so Shmuel says, also, that this is forbidden. So Rashi says, so the Hotana de Shmuel Mutter. But we learned in the Academy of Shmuel that it was mutter. So Amar Abaye Hashdom Shmuel Aser. Now that Shmuel said it's Aser, B'tana Devei Shmuel Mutter. The Academy of Shmuel said it's mutter. Halacha Lamaisa Aser Lashminim. They were coming to tell you the Halacha Lamaisa that really it shouldn't be done. But if someone's doing it, it's not something that that's the Halacha. Vein Morin came, says Rashi, that you shouldn't necessarily do it. Tanu Rabbanon, says the Rabbanon, ein shonin kemach biyom tov. So flour is sifted to make sure that all the impurities are gone. Shonin refers to re-sifting flours that people would do in order to make it even finer. So ein shonin kemach biyom tov. You shouldn't do the sifting of kemach on yom tov. So why shouldn't you do the sifting of kemach on yom tov? The Rishonim discuss. This is for ochel nefesh, right? What's the problem? So one possible problem is that this really could be done before yom tov, right? And the heter ochel nefesh is only for things that need to be done on yom tov or make it fresher if it's done on yom tov, which is not necessarily true about sifting. It's also possible that the only melachos that are permitted, according to some Rishonim, is melisha ve'elech, from kneading and onward. But things that are done in the preparation of bread before that are not really part of the heter ochel nefesh. But anyway, ein shonin kemach b'yomtov. Mishum Rabbi Papias the Rabbi Yehuda ben Besera amru shonin. You can do this shonin kemach b'yomtov. V'shavin, and they agree she'im nafal etochan, that if something falls into it, tsror o kisein, a rock or a piece of a twig or a piece of something, that if those things fall in, sheshonin, that you can sift it out. That you can sift it out. So Tani Tana Kamei de Ravina, Ein Shonin Kemach Biyantiv, Aval Nafot Tzoro Kisem, Borer Biyado. He says you shouldn't sift it out. You should just pull it out with your hand. So Amarle kosher came to Aser. That should for sure be Aser. To Havale kibore. That's like the malacha of bore. So Dora Ashrava bar Rav Huna
Zuti. And sifting it wouldn't be bore? Sifting is taking the good from the bad as opposed to the bad from the good?
Right. Well, one is using...
You're not really separating anything. You're just aerating it.
Correct. One is just sort of...
You, sifting it,
for example, you're not allowed to use a more fine sifter than the original sifter that you used.
The flour that they had. You might find a bug in it.
So Rashi says...
Because there's bugs.
Right. Rashi says, just to look at this Rashi. So... Kol shekain de aser de mechsi keborer u borer av malacha hu, that it looks like borer, and borer is an av malacha ke harkada v'hashon, because it's more like the actual sifting v'hashona eino mirakeh shari nira shakol yotzei v'ein kan sovin. Again, this sifting is not real sifting. Real sifting is when you remove the impurities. That's not what we're doing. It's all already sifted flour. It's just, you're going through it again, it makes it a little finer. But it's not actually sifting things out. Once you're dealing with something that's actually in there, so then it becomes more of a question. So, Darash Rava Barav Huna Zuti, Apiska Dinara, so Rava Barav Huna Zuti, at the entrance to Narada, Shonin Kemach B'Yom Tov, you can be Shonin Kemach B'Yom Tov, that's the Psa. Armel Rav Nachman, Poku v'amrulei la'aba shekila tivuscha v'shadayach zari. You're throwing your good and you're throwing it on nothing. What is achzari? Achzari.
Thorns.
Right. You're throwing it on thorns. Meaning this is a useless piece of information. Why? Puchazi. Go and look. Kama mehulsa hadron binarda. How many of these items exist, these sifters exist in Arda, meaning everybody knows that it's mutter. So we don't need your shir in Hilchos Yontif telling us that this is mutter. Okay, Devei Sayud Rav Yosef. And now we get the women involved. The wife of Rav Yosef, Nahola Kimcha, Agva de Mehulta, the wife of Rav Yosef, she would sift through the flour using the back of the sifter. Rashi, b'achorei anafa kedei l'shano. So there was a shinui. Amar lo chazi danach riftam al yasa be'ino. So Amar lo chazi, look, da anah riftam al yasa be'ino. I want a very, very fine bread. Devei sayud Rav Ashi, the wife of Rav Ashi, nahola kamcha agava de psura. She would do it on the back of the table. Rashi says, Sheyesh lo toch, it had some sort of indentation that she was able, again, to do it with some sort of shinui. So, Amar Rav Ashi, Hadi don bar seid rami bar chama, virami bar chama, mora de uvda havo, vilav de chazmi beinosha, lo haya uvda. So what do you call it? So Rav Ashi says, that we, bar seid rami bar chama, Virami Barchama Mora de Uvda Havo, he was there when this happened. If he didn't approve, then his family certainly wouldn't have done it. So again, all of this is to be mamed this psak. It's actually, I think, a machlokas in the Shulchan Aruch between the Mechaber and the Ramah, exactly what the final halacha is with this sifter. So Holech Oda Meitzach and Vani Haragil Etzlo. You're allowed to go, says the Mishnah, to the chenvani, the storekeeper that you normally go to, and say to him, I'd like you to give me eggs and nuts, 10 eggs, 5 nuts, shekein derech balabayis liosmona betoch beso. Because that's how a normal person in their home would refer to these amounts, as opposed to by weight or by amount, right? You don't say to your kid, please bring me 6 ounces of eggs. Or please bring me, you know, you say, bring me 2 eggs, bring me a handful of nuts, right? So that's mutter. So whatever you would say normally in your home is mutter to say to the chenvani. And that's not called derech mekach l'milka. Tanu rabbanan, holech adam etzel roes. Now the Gemara just gives a lot of examples of what would be considered appropriate. A person could go to a roe, to a shepherd, a rugel etzlo, The Omer Lo, and he could say, Tain li gedi echad o tele echad. Give me a goat, give me a sheep, etzel tabach, a butcher, haragil etzlov, omer le tain li kaf achas, o yerach achas, give me a shoulder, give me a thigh, etzel pite, maragil etzlov, somebody raises birds, v'omer lo tain li tur echad, o gozel echad, give me a dove, give me a pigeon, etzel nachtu maragil etzlov, v'omer lo tain li kikar echad, o glusko achas, a baker, and say the baker, give me a roll, give me a loaf, the etzel chenvani, a rogel etzlo, or a storekeeper, a regular storekeeper, v'omer lo, tain li esrim beitzim, give me 20 eggs, o chamishim egozim, or 50 nuts, asara afarskim, or 10 peaches, v'chamisha rimonim, 5 rimonim, 5 pomegranates, esrog echad, 1 esrog, v'vachlo yaskelo schum mida, as long as you don't mention the weight. Rashi says, kav o kavim, as long as you don't mention the amount of weights. That's already sounding too much like you're doing business. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, it's not so much the weight that's the problem, it's the price, right? As long as you're not mentioning the price. And all of that could, again, be worked out after Yontif. What?
Like, don't say, give me $5.
Right? Exactly. Don't say, give me 5 ounces, because everybody knows how much is an ounce. That's exactly the kind of code to... You know, and or to say, give me $5 worth, right? Sometimes we say that. We'll go into the store and we'll say, give me $5 worth of the of whatever weight you're, you know, and then you watch the person and try to figure out, right? What the unless they're the expert in the shuk with the nuts. But okay, Hajun Alach Ain Sadan. So now we're up to Eric Ravi. Almost there. When are we supposed to finish? Anybody?